It's the 14th. Happy VD, everyone. It's a joke.
You don't. I got it.
You took you off. Okay. Okay. So we have an announcement. We have exam number one on Tuesday. So this is this Tuesday. We will be covering chapters 1, 2, and 3. Make sure you can do the future value calcs, the cash flow, and the net worth statement. Look at the sample ones that we did. The after tax. Hopefully we'll have some time today to go over these. What am I talking about? Form 1040. We're going to go over Form 1040 and Schedule 1. We have a sample number 2 to do today. And then there'll be an assignment. There's obviously an assignment. And then there's a one on the exam. Bring a Scantron, a calculator, 99-cent calculator. I'd rather you not use your phone, folks. Put your phone away. Put it on vibrate or whatever. It's an emergency. Tell me. But 99-cent calculator, and I'll have some 99-cent calculators for you. I actually have one for $1.47, but the other is 99-cent, and you can borrow those. You get one page of notes, okay? No, I'm not kidding. One handwritten, 8.5 by 11. Don't bring a poster board, right? And people say, oh, you're so nice. No, it's nothing to do with being nice. Some of your skills, some of you have not the best study skills, and you don't really know what to do. And some of you do this thing with the highlighter. I think it's so dumb. What the hell is that? But I like flashcards myself, but I also use outlining. So if you put all your ideas on a single single page, 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, that's studying. You know, you've done the things you need to do to study. And so are they going to do this at the university? Are they going to let you do this at the university? No. But I think it's a good idea to prime the pump. And when you teach at the prison, you will find that they get very creative. So this was their one page of notes. It's just one page. Is that brilliant? Yeah. What? No, I didn't let them use it. No, you can't use that on the go ahead. Yeah, I'll give you the. You don't have to memorize the table. I'll give you the table for the after tax calculation. Give you the formula. I'll give you the handout. Yes.
Handwritten.
And then what you see is people go. They really need a little. Yeah, if you type it, then what they do is they just miniaturize the book. You know, they just miniaturize the presentation. So no, we want you to write. You may think I'm crazy. You may be right, but when you write it out. Believe it or not, you are learning. You are changing the chemistry in your brain and learning these things. And learning requires repetition. We know this to be true. People learn in different ways. I like doing things. Some people watch and they listen. And the listeners, the auditory folks, are the ones that do the best. They're the ones who just sit there like that. And you say, what are you doing? Are you taking any notes? Are you looking? Oh, everything. And then they can burp back everything you said to them one day. Good. But there's a few of them. There's 10, 12%. 50, 60%, 70% are auditory. And about 30% of us are kinesthetic. That's why I love flashcards. I make flashcards. You put the term on one side, you know, index cards, or just cut them up. And then put the uh-oh, we in trouble.
Oh, flash flood warning.
Flash flood, yeah. Duh. Thanks a lot. Don't tell us something we don't know. Okay, and you put the description, the definition on the other back, on the back, and then you can quiz yourself and you can quiz each other. So that's you decide. Yes, Laura.
I wish someone had told me this like 15 years ago, but I'm kinesthetic and visual. Get a sketchbook and draw out.
Yeah. Yeah, draw notes. Yeah. Can, for those people who are, some people are, you know, more than one, but we learn through all our senses. That's the only way to learn the physical world is through our senses. But for learning in the school, it's mostly visual, some auditory, and some kinesthetic. Okay, joke. Who's got a good joke? See, we have Kathleen in the one class, in early classes. She always brings a joke. Did I tell you about the alligator that walked into the bar, and the bear, and the mushroom, and the duck, right? The duck, the sandwich.
Yeah.
Did I tell you about the lamp?
I love lamps.
No, see, I didn't tell you about the lamp. So this lamp walks into a bar, right? Goes up to the bartender and says, "I want a beer and a shot of whiskey and one of those tequila sunrises. And the bartender said, wait a minute, that's a lot of alcohol. And the lamp says, that's right, I want to get lit.
Thank you.
Because he's a lamp. Right? I heard, I listened to Radio Latina when they had a joke, which is about 15 minutes, to see if I can understand it in Spanish. And I understood it. But it won't work in English. It just doesn't work. I'll tell you after class, those of you in Spanish. I'll probably mess it up, but... Okay. ¿Cuál es la montaña más limpia? ¿Sí? Un volcán. Porque después una erupción, lava. If they understand Spanish, right? Won't work in English. It doesn't work in English. Okay, so here's where we were, right? This is where we were. We had gone through the 1040 form. We had learned how to do a typical 1040 for the typical homeowner. And many of them, well, it turns out they don't need to do it anymore, as we're going to see today. And we found that in terms of the tax audit, we do not want that field audit. We want the correspondent on it. And here's where we ended, as I remember, tax evasion and tax avoidance, right? Okay. Illegally not paying all your taxes as opposed to avoiding paying all your taxes, which is your responsibility, your duty, your right, your privilege as an American taxpayer not to pay more taxes than you have to, legally. So, now we're going to take a look today at tax planning strategies, and we'll look at the biggest one being the home ownership and find that it's not as big as it used to be. And then we'll do a review. We got plenty of time to review chapters 1, 2, and 3. Is that cool? Okay. Maybe tell another joke. Bad joke. All right. We're going to discuss investments in detail later on in the semester in Business 123. We do it the whole semester. But the book is, they don't go into any detail. They do later on. But tax-deferred annuities, folks. These are for people who already have plenty of investments, have money that they, I call it, you want to put money to burn. You have money to burn, go ahead and put it in a tax-deferred annuity. Why? They have huge fees. But if you're an insurance agent, oh boy, do you love these things because they're great commissions. Savings bonds, you might even have some of these, folks. Ask your folks, ask your aunts, something like your grandparents, when you were born, gave you U.S. Treasury bonds, Series E Treasury bonds. And the reason you want to ask them now is because they're probably sitting in some drawer somewhere. Now's the time to cash them out. Because if you use the money for qualified higher education, Southwestern College, use them for tuition and the like, you don't pay any taxes on them. So that's cool, but they're not very good. We're going to discuss in detail 401Ks, 403Bs, IRAs. These are cool. Education IRAs, 529 plans. The Roth is better for the vast majority of us, in my humble opinion. Again, these are for people who've got plenty of money. And then we'll discuss SEP IRAs and simple IRAs. They're like 401Ks, 403B plans. These are for the vast majority of us, these are the way we're going to fund our retirement. And then once we get into the world of stocks and bonds and real estate, it makes sense to invest in long-term investments because the capital gains are taxed at a lower rate. Now, owning a home. Hey, this was just changed from is to a was. Right? Owning a home was one of the best shelters because you can deduct the mortgage loan interest and property taxes when you itemize. This reduces your taxable income, as we saw on Schedule A. But fewer people can now take advantage of this strategy, as we will see. What did they do? They raised the standard deduction, got rid of the exemptions, raised the standard deduction, and lowered the amount of interest and state and local taxes that you can deduct. So we're going to see that for some people, they just got kicked out. We can use our home equity line of, no, not anymore. You can't do this. They eliminated. They, why don't do it, Laura?
All the people who lost their homes.
Right. Careful.
Right.
Ooh, well, hang on a minute. But this is eliminated. You can't do it anymore. And then muni bonds. We'll discuss municipal bonds. They're very popular with very wealthy folks. With the vast majority of us, no, they're not that a big deal. And then starting a business. Now that could be a great idea. And we'll discuss that after we get through owning a home. So here is two families. One's a single individual and one's a married couple. And they make $50,000 of adjusted gross income. So this is after, right? After the gross income and then the adjustments, before the deductions, they make $50,000 of adjusted gross income. Now, the new standard deduction is $12,000 for a single person, $24,000 for a married couple, right? Nod your head yes. You've been studying, right? That's what you do. Students study. Do students pardon? Do students party? No. Pardons party, right? Students study. Cool. Okay, now, so they have $38,000 of taxable income for the single person, $26,000 for the married couple. You go into the tax table and you find that the single person is paying about a little less than $400 a month to taxes. Boy, wouldn't they like to reduce that, right? The married couple is paying about a little over $200 a month. How can we reduce that? Well, your real estate agent is going to jump up and down and say, you have to own a house. You're just throwing your money away. And besides, you're going to get a tax break. Well, maybe. Maybe not. Here is the typical Schedule A, and this should look familiar because this is the one we did last week. This is A King's Schedule A. $1,000 in income tax, property tax because he owns the condo, $200 for the vehicle license fee, $16,000. You thought I was kidding, right? But you get a $360,000 loan at 4.5%, that's $16,000 a year in interest. That's why when you grow up, you want to be a bank. Right? You would love to be a bank when you grow up. You can be a banker, but you can't be a bank. Okay, and then gifts to charity. So $22,000 of itemized deductions. So we go back to the 1040 form, and instead of putting in the standard deduction, we put in the itemized deductions. Well, remember, it was $12,000 for the single person, $24,000 for the married couple. So you plug in $22,000. Now the taxable income is $28,000 for the single person. They've reduced their taxes by over $100 a month, right? They've gone from 44 down to 32, so over $100 a month. Whereas they're going to pay more in taxes, $2,900. Yes, Laura, you got the tweaks.
Wait, so are they penalized for not being married then?
They're penalized. Single people pay more in taxes, yes.
But if married people usually have two incomes.
That's why they got rid of the marriage penalty. They doubled all the tax brackets.
Okay.
But where's the confusion? Remember? Let's go back to... I don't know if this thing's working anymore. Yeah, it is working.
Single person is paying more taxes.
Single person is paying more taxes. Yeah. So we go out and buy a condo, and now we have $22,000 worth of itemized deductions. So the single person is able to reduce their taxes.
Mm-hmm. But they're still paying more.
They're still paying more. The married couple, the taxes went up. They would not take advantage of the itemized deductions. They would rather take the standard deduction because they're going to pay fewer dollars in taxes. Are you with me? You see what happened? And so people are pissed. They're angry. And now you hear the backlash coming in the news. I don't know if you're watching. And this one senator said, you don't understand. We did you a favor. Yes, we're charging you more. We did you a favor. For married couples buying at the lower end of the housing market, the Republican tax cuts remove the tax savings. They are better off taking the standard deduction. Don't expect the real estate agents to tell you this. Don't expect them. They won't. They don't have to. They can tell you a lie, and they do. So at the low end of the market, and by the way, how much did the single person save? $100 a month, right? Is that nothing to sneeze at, but it doesn't even pay your HOA fees, which are $200-$300, right? So don't think that buying a house is a fabulous tax strategy. Not anymore for people in the lower middle, in the typical lower middle. I'm not trying to dissuade you from buying a home. Right? I'm not saying you shouldn't buy a house. I think it's a great investment. You get to live in it. You don't get to live in your mutual fund or your stock. But you don't think that you're going to get such a great deal on the taxes, especially if you're married at the lower end. But they might, they're going to probably change this because they know they're good. Oh, man, the Republicans. You might, it might, what? Oh, yeah, they did. They're so stupid. They're, so, they're evil, but they're usually nice. You know, people think, well, you don't want the Republicans to say, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I want both parties to do well. I want them to bring to the table their best ideas. But the Republicans have sort of been, but don't think, don't worry, we'll bash everybody. We're equal opportunity. People say, you're prejudiced. No, I hate everybody. How do you argue with that? Now, what happens when your income gets a little higher? 80 grand of adjusted gross income. Not a bad salary? Would you be happy with that salary? Nod your head yes. No? Are you not happy with that?
I live in San Diego.
Your kids live in San Diego. Yeah, well, but you could, I mean, it's not bad.
Better than I'm doing right now.
Okay, well, there you go, right? So the single person has the standard deduction, $68,000 with a taxable income, almost $11,000 in taxes. The married couple, the $24,000 standard deduction, and they're paying a little less than $500, well, a little more than $500, a little more than $500 a month. Cool? You understand what's going on here? Now, let's buy a nice house up on the hill where they do the boogie. And now we're looking at a $720,000 mortgage. Mm-mm, you don't want that? And you're paying $32,000 in interest. And you guys are shaking your head. So you're happy with the condo? Go to Mexico, buy in Mexico. You're not alone. A lot of gringos are going down to Mexico. The Tijuanaises are angry. You're raising our rent. You're raising our property. But they got that Via Rapida. Get your Sentry Pass.
Yeah.
You go across, run to your place, come back. $22,000 in state income taxes. There's the property tax. Now, notice the three here equal $10,000. The Republicans put a limit on $10,000 of state and local taxes, which is killing some Californians, New Yorkers, Chicagoans, folks in high expensive, you know, high, they can make a lot of money. Well, we don't make a lot of money in San Diego, but L.A. and San Francisco you do. New York, Connecticut, Philadelphia, Washington. So that's the limit, $10,000. But there's no limit on the mortgage interest until you hit $750,000. Anything above $750,000, the interest is not tax deductible. Yeah, so don't buy $1 million home unless you really want it. And they pay more to charity. So now we're looking at $44,000 in itemized deductions. Does the IRS bat an eyelash when they see this from Southern California or Northern California or from New York? No, that's typical, very typical. So now the single person has reduced their taxes quite a bit. $80,000 minus the $44,000 in standard deductions, $36,000. They went from $11,000 down to $4,000. So you see? That's a good tax shelter, isn't it? I mean, you're saving, what, $7,000, $600 a month? The married couple, it's gone down somewhat, but not, you know, not as dramatic as the single person. So now, the single person is saving almost $600 a month. The married couple is saving a couple hundred dollars a month. Once your income reaches the middle to upper middle level class, a home is normally a very good tax shelter. However, be mindful of the limits imposed by the new Republican tax cuts. They wanted to punish the high tax states. It's so transparent. They're angry at those blue. This is like, we got blue states and red states, and now we got purple states, which are sort of mixed. And I live in the United States. Well, no, it's not United. As we said, the voters in high tax states proceeded to decimate what few Republicans were left. And Orange County, which we already said last week, which is the bastion of Republican conservatism, now no longer has any Republican representatives. Yes?
How come they only let you spend $10,000?
That's the number they came up with.
So there's no specific reason?
Well, the specific reason, well, you ask them and they'll say, well, we had to make the numbers work. You know, some people had to get a tax cut, but some people are going to get a tax break. What they won't say is, we just wanted to screw the blue states. They won't say that, but that's essentially what they're saying with their actions. And the blue states turned around and screwed them back. So more divided country. What are you going to do? Go out and kiss a Republican and hope they don't punch you back. Okay, now, questions, thoughts, ideas? Ideas, you understand? So we're going to get to housing. And don't let the real estate agents bamboozle you. Buy a house not because of the tax consequences. Buy a house because it's cool to have a home, in my humble opinion. It's a home first, a tax shelter, and investment second. And we'll get this. We're going to spend a whole chapter on housing. Okay, remember that $299 stereo that cost us $510? Well, if it's a legitimate business expense, you have a business, self-employed, whatever, that same stereo will only cost you about $314. You still have to pay the sales tax unless you turn around and sell it to somebody else. Then then if you're in the business of buying and selling, wholesale or retailer, if you use it for your business, but you get to deduct the sales tax as a business expense. Now, when would a stereo be a legitimate business expense? Yeah, you're a DJ, or you have a, what?
Sound engineer.
A sound engineer. You work with that sound, or you have a store or an office, and you need music piped in for whatever reason. And so this is a great idea for those of you young, have an idea for a business. What could you do, what good or service you could produce that people will pay for? And the time to do it is when you're younger and don't have the wife or husband and the kid and the car and the house and the orthodontia and the veterinarian bills. Start early. Those of you who are interested, do you have anything to give? Because if you don't start making money, if you just simply continue to lose money year after year, I'm in a business, I make dollhouses in my basement. And I sold one, I don't know, 5 years ago, but mostly. It's just, so you're deducting all the expenses, right? But you're never making any money. Eventually the IRS is going to come and say, it's not a business, it's a hobby, and they're going to go back, and you're going to have to get all the years that you deducted. You have to redo your taxes for all those years. And And so it's something to think about. The general rule of thumb is after 3 years, if you're not making money, then, it's time to bag it up. Give it up. So I have a little story for you. My niece, who is a thespian, that's a fancy word for actor, right? She and her friend were thespians, and they started a little company called Backyard Productions. Check it out. They made it into the local news, or look up at the San Diego Useless Tribune. It's now become Backyard Renaissance. And they did theater productions. Now, at first, they were dirt cheap. They weren't paying the actors. They were just using regular clothes, no sets. They were making money, and so Uncle Frank did the taxes for their partnership, because as soon as you work with somebody who's not your spouse, you're in a partnership unless you do something else. So I was doing their partnership. And so they started to get, more acclaim and more expensive productions. And all of a sudden, after a few years, they're losing money. And it doesn't look like they're ever going to make money again. And so, because now they're expected, they're expected just to do. And I said, are you going to go? Because mostly what they do is they go after grants and corporate sponsorships and the like. And she said, I don't want to do that. I said, well, you can't just continue to lose money. Right? If you do that, the IRS is going to come after you, because they'll consider it an illegal tax shelter, a hobby. So my niece said, what did we do? Let me talk to them and see what they say. So it took me a while to get to the right person. I kept asking me, I don't know. And so they finally got me to the right guy. And they said, well, what kind of business is it? I said, it's a theater production company. They put on shows. And he roared with laughter. He said, oh, really? You go right ahead and keep losing money. No problem. They know that theater is a losing proposition. Do your tickets go to actually pay for the? Do they actually cover the cost of the theater production?
They cover the fees to write the script and pay the balance.
Yeah, and everything else. Yeah, no. So that's why they have corporate sponsorships and grants and the like. So I thought that was a cute story. What do you think? Is that a cute story? I like that story. Anyway, donate your car, get a tax break. Now, we discussed Anybody else? Yeah, you can't turn those on vibrate, right? They go off no matter what, right? Yeah, you can't turn those off. Okay, my apologies. An all too familiar spiel we hear from charities these days is that you can donate your car, get a $2,500 tax break. Of course, you might only get $50 if you ask the recycling yard to come and get it. Not a bad deal, right? That might be worth $550, you know, whatever to you, depending on your tax bracket. Well, no more. The charity must now sell the car and tell you actually how much they got for it. They can't hang on. They don't hang on to it. They just turn around and sell it to a recycling yard. Or if it's really nice, they'll sell it to a auction place. Auction place, yes. And here's the kicker, right? You get maybe it's worth $1,000. You get a receipt for $1,000. So you go to your tax person, or maybe you go to Vita, and you say, I got $1,000 tax deduction. And they say, well, do you own a home? Do you make major medical bills last year? And they say, no, that's pretty much it. Well, the standard deduction makes more sense for you if you're going to pay fewer dollars in taxes. And then they get angry. Then they go back to Father Joe's or KPBS or whatever in their church and say, you told me I was going to get a tax break. Well, we said you might. You might get a tax deduction. You might not. So just, I'm not telling you not to donate your car. Right? If it's time to get a new car and you don't want to deal with the hassle of selling it on eBay, then, not eBay, Craigslist, then go ahead and donate it. But do it because you like that charity. So, the bottom line on taxes, what did Mr. Franklin say? Death and taxes, right. You pay your taxes, quick them. Go ahead, complain all you want, but pay your taxes. And see, Ben was wrong. He should have said the only things certain in life are death, tax, and tax law changes. We know that's going to happen. And every time they do, they get more difficult. So this is a great opportunity for you to get a job where you have guaranteed employment for the rest of your life. If we want real tax reform, all we really have to do is require the senators and representatives in Congress to do their own tax returns. They don't have to do their own tax returns. The IRS sends people, or it's the GOA, the Government Accounting Office, somebody, one of the entities sends people up onto Capitol Hill, and they do their taxes for the senators and the congresspeople. So what do they care how difficult it is? I'm sorry? I agree. That's what I say. You know, people say, well, Laura said, what a waste of resources. I agree. You are paying people to do something that really doesn't produce anything that is benefits, doesn't make us any more efficient, doesn't make us any more productive. What? Yeah, it benefits the people who do it. They'll say, hey, what are you talking about? This is how. But don't hold your breath. Instead, become a CPA, tax preparer, and you'll have guaranteed employment. Cool? All right, now, take out your package. Where's your package? No, this is not mutual funds. No, yeah, package number three. I'm out of them. And then where is... Okay. Can I see the package? Yes. Here's the assignment. Where's... Oh, my goodness. I'm in trouble. I didn't copy the... I goofed. Okay, I should have included the second tax exercise. I did not do that. Oops, I did not do it. My apologies. I did not include the second tax exercise in the package. I tell you, I'm getting old, folks. I wonder if I should retire. You're still learning, right? You're just going to have to do it on a separate sheet of paper. You're going to have to do what I do on the board here. But you can download it over the weekend, and because this is our practice. And I should have included that, and I didn't include it in the package. Let me take a look. Maybe I took a look at somebody else's package. I don't trust Laura. She's tricky. See, you didn't do anything in your package? There's A. King. There's the assignment with Sam and... You know Sam and Janet? Sam and Janet evening. Sam and Janet. You will find a straight note. I forgot to put it in the copy package. I'm sure I printed it out. I'm sure it's sitting on my desk. Okay, so this is, it's not in the package. The assignment is in the package. The assignment, yeah. But this is, so my apologies. My apologies. I don't have time to run and do it right now. No, that's stupid. What? It's the same idea. It's the same idea as the assignment. It's a little different than A-King because these are married couple. But other than that, they got a child and they got standard deduction. I mean, they have the itemized deductions. So we'll do it on the board and you just do it on a sheet of paper. My apologies. But who will read the sample? Who will read? Everybody, don't jump at once. Don't jump at once. Somebody? No? Okay, who do I count on? Who can I count on? And your name again is? Yeah.
Marco,
would you read our instructions here?
Roy L. Payne, Mary Sasha Diaz, they now refer to themselves as Roy L. Payne Diaz and Sasha Payne Diaz. They have one child, Jamie Payne Diaz, so they are eligible for the 1,000 times credit on 948 and 12. Good times are due, the other number, you will need to complete their tax return, follow the first tax expense, and go into their form 1040 and schedule.
Itemized.
From Schedule A on 9-8 and tax amount 11-A and 11 are already computed for you.
So pay close attention to the stars, the asterisks. So my apologies, folks. I'm really embarrassed, but okay. Who are these people? Roy L. Payne Diaz and Sasha Payne Diaz and Jaime Payne Diaz. Jaime Payne. Did you get it? I told you they get worse. So did they fill out? So this is, you can print it out over the weekend, practice, because this is very much like the assignment, very much like what you're going to see on the exam. Okay, my apologies. So they put their names there, Social Security. They have, they're married filing jointly. They have a son, and the son is under 17, so they qualify for the child tax credit. So all this makes sense here? You don't have to do, you don't have to fill this in. This will be filled in for you. They sign it, they put down their occupations, and now this is the part. See all the little stars? See the little stars? They're on the assignment sheet. My apologies. They're on this too. You don't have a copy in front of you. My apologies. But so line number one, wages, salaries. This is the one for the vast majority of us. How much wages do we have from the sheet? Let's go. Now you. Yeah, you remembered. No. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pull that there. No, do that. Okay, good. So how much was it? $59,900. I like to use really round numbers. So $59,900. And you don't have to put the zeros in, the dollars and cents. In fact, they don't want you to. They really don't want you to put 50. I'm going to type it in here. 59. And you can do this. You can actually download the PDF files and manipulate them. They don't really want you to put the cents in. In fact, they you can. You can move over and put dollars and cents in, but they don't want it. And if you do TurboTax or one of the other programs, they won't. You can't make them. There's no way to do it, which angers me, because that's not the right number. I want to see the real number that's in my spreadsheet. And no, we're going to round up to the next. They round up or down. Okay? So that's line number one. Now, on line number two, they differentiate between tax-exempt interest and then taxable interest. Why do they want to know how much tax-exempt interest is? Because what they do is they use that in some of their calculations and say, oh, if you got a lot of tax-exempt interest, you're doing better than everybody else, so we're going to get rid of some of your perks. But that's very wealthy people. So what was the taxable interest? We got to go back and forth to the other guy. What was the taxable interest for this couple? $100. Cool. So put that on line number 2B. 2B. 2B or not 2B. Okay, good. So now, we go back to the 1040 form, and let's make it a little bit bigger. Any qualified dividends, any IRA pensions, Social Security? No. Do you see any stars, any asterisks in those cells? You see any asterisks in 2, 3, 4, 3, 4, 5? So do you have to put anything there? Good. Now what's line 6? Yeah, line is the total income. And we might have some more income on Schedule 1, but we don't. And so we just simply, oops, I forgot to put the $100 in. Put the $100 in. And so we just simply total that up. So what's the total? Tough question, folks. Everyone should say 60,000. Wait till I ask you. What's the total? Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. Now here's where it gets a little tricky. Line number 7 is the adjusted gross income. And it used to be all on the same page. But now they want you to go to Schedule 1. So let's run over to Schedule 1. Go by Trunk Monkey. Okay. Schedule 1 for the second tech. And notice, there are the answer keys. So check out the answer keys. So Schedule 1. And bung, 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 bung. So here is where we would put any additional income, alimony, business income, capital gains, and like. But most people will not have that, so just ignore that. But down here is where we put the adjustments to income. So in this case, do Sasha and Roy have any adjustments? Apparently. See the stars? So let's go back to the this guy. Oops, not that guy. That guy. That guy right there. They have an IRA deduction, which is on. So let's do this over here. So this is Schedule 1. Line 33, right? 32. An IRA deduction. How much was that?
$1,500.
And then on line 33, they have a student loan interest deduction.
$500.
Thank you, Laura. Good memory. So everybody see that? Oh, you're looking at it, right. I'm not looking at this guy over here. So on here, $1,500. And then here, $500. See the stars? Hint, hint, hint. See the stars? And then, so what's that total? Tough question, folks. I always ask you questions that you'll never... Everyone should say 2,000. So I want everyone to say, not just people in the expensive seats. I want people in cheap seats, too. Okay, what's the total? You may think I'm crazy. You may be right. But when you answer me, it actually helps you learn, believe it or not. Okay, so that's Schedule 1. Was that 36? Line 36? Yeah, line 36. Line 36 is the total and adjustments. That's 2,000. And now instead of, which I would have done, but they didn't do that, I would have said move that over here and maybe sneak it in here somewhere so that we can see. But no, they just say go back to the 1040 form. Take what's on line 36, if anything, and subtract it from line 6. So here's 60,000. I would have liked to seen them put another line in here where you put the, take this number and put that there, but they didn't do that. So we take the 2,000 from the total income, and that's 58,000. Cool? Is that pretty straightforward? Could you do that? I sure hope so. Remember, the answer key is on the website, and this is very similar to the first tax exercise, second tax exercise, the assignment, and then what's going on. Now, here's what we have to decide. What do we want to use? Do we want to use the standard deduction, or do we want to use the itemized deduction? Well, the standard deduction, it tells us, for a married couple is 24,000. They own a home. We don't see the Schedule A. Don't worry about it. But what is their, what are their itemized deductions? Tough question, folks. What are their itemized deductions? So does it make sense for them to itemize?
Yes.
If that were less than $24,000, it wouldn't make sense. They'd be wanting to pay more in taxes. So they go back to line 8, now it's line 8, and put in $28,000. Whoops, what's going on here? $28,000. There you go. Line 8. $28,000. Cool? Piece of cake? Yeah, once you do it enough times, folks, my humble opinion, I think it's really not that hard. But other people just can't stand looking at all these numbers. Now, line number 9, that's not going to be for most people unless they have their own business. They're not going to deal with it. And even if they have to deal with it, they're going to go crazy. Line 10 is the taxable income. So do we have anything on line 9? Everyone say no.
No.
Wait till I ask you. Do we have anything on line 9?
No.
So what do we do? Just move what is in line 8 down to line 9. And then what some people do is they put zeros in all the lines that are empty. You know, the IRS won't yell at you or scream at you, but nobody does that. No CPA, no tax preparer, no tax software. They just leave it blank. In fact, that's what they want. Yes? Can't take a joke? What? Yeah. Right, it's 30,000. What did I do? Right, no. Yeah, take this.
Goofball.
Take this, minus that. I'll just see if what you guys were, I just was trying to see if you guys were on me. You take this guy minus this guy, and then take this guy, there, nothing there, and then you got 30,000. Right. See, I was just testing. Following along. I need to retire. Okay. Questions, thoughts, yes?
Wait, how did you get 28,000?
That's given to you. We would, and we don't want to do this, but we would, in a real life situation, you would have to do Schedule A. Remember Schedule A from last week? Let's take a look at Schedule A real quickly. Okay, there's Wanda Professor. Do you see Google's doodle? It's cute. There's the earthworms, and then the little bugs, the love bugs, and then the spiders. They don't want to do it on stage, so they run off. They run away because they don't want to be on stage. Okay, when they're doing it. Okay, so let's go to the Schedule A for Chapter 3. Schedule A. Do you remember? And this is, we're not going to ask you to do this on the exam or the assignment, But this is where they would have to put in the itemized deductions. And so the bottom, in their case, would be 28,000. Their total would be 28,000. That's where that comes from. But you don't have to do that. Cool? Okay. So now we're at taxable income. Here is where we would go into the tax table and pull out the tax. Do you have to do that? No. I'm not going to give you a tax table and ask you to go, because it's 25 pages long. But we would run inside to the tax table and pull out the tax for $30,000 for a married couple. So we put that here. What was that number again? Was it 32222? We would put that here. Come on. This thing is a pain in the neck. 222. And then we put it all also over here. Because that's about all they have. And nothing else, no other form, any Schedule 2 stuff. No. So on line 11A, under, what do they call it? Tax. Just tax. We put the 3222 here. And then all the others are not interested. So we've got 3222 over here. This is where if you had self-employment, any additional taxes on anything? Yes.
Can I ask a stupid question?
I love easy questions.
Okay, so, if you own your own business you would probably make it a corporation, and then on this thing, you would just put whatever salary your corporation
is. You're absolutely right, Laura. Laura's great. If you created it, if you had a corporation, then it's a different entity. The corporation itself has its own tax return, and you would be an employee of the corporation, so you'd have a W-2. But many people don't want to do that. They want to stay a self. Oh, an LLP is another example. This is what you would learn about in Business 120, Introduction to Investments. But a sole proprietorship, for many people, sole proprietorship works fine, especially if it's a small business. You have enough, and make sure you have insurance. That's the kicker. You want to make sure you have insurance, because if you get sued for whatever, then life can be miserable, and the insurance company deals with it. They got the lawyers. They know what they're doing. They know how to deal with these frivolous lawsuits. But if you get sued for something real, then best of luck to you. But not everybody wants to become a corporation. There's advantages and disadvantages. Did I answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay, so now, do they have any children?
Mm-hmm.
Jaime Payne Diaz. So they are going to get the tax credit, which goes on line 12A, 2000, and then that's the only tax credit they have. So line 2000 here. So line 12, the child tax credit, 12A, 2000, and then over here, 2000. How we doing? Okay, now, line 13, they don't have a name for it, but it's basically just a subtotal. So we'll say subtotal here. 3222 minus 2000? 3222 minus 2000? Is everybody texting? Are you texting it back and forth to one another? 3222 minus 2000? Okay. All right. So that's on line 13. Do they have any other taxes? Any other taxes? No, that's it. That's it. So that's blank. No stars. Now, total tax? What's the total tax? Line 14, nothing. This is where I was getting confused. This is where you just go like that. Line 14, blank. Line 15. So now, 1, 2, 2, this is supposed to go like that. Line, what a mess. Okay, 1, 2, 2, 2. Okay, line 15. I'm running out of room. I should have gave myself more room. But now we know how much tax we owe to the IRS. 1, 2, 2, 2. Now, how much was withhold? Withheld. How much was withheld? 1,400. So that comes from our W-2. So we put that on line 18. If we have some other refundable credits, any other payments, they go in here, but we don't have that. Most people don't have that. So they put on line... No, I'm sorry, line 16. Line 16, I'm sorry. 1,400. And then because we don't have anything, any refundable credits, any other tax payments that we made, we just move this line 16 down to line 18. Here's my blue. Line 16. Oh, God, let me go. I apologize. I didn't leave enough room. Plan ahead. Line 16 is 1440. Line 15 is 1222. And then we don't have any other payments there, so line 18 is the same as line 16. And now we ask ourselves, did we have enough money withheld?
Yeah.
Everyone should say yes. Did we have enough money withheld?
Yeah.
We owe $1,222. We paid $1,400, so we overpaid how much? $222? No, not that's not right. $178. You have to use your calculator. And do we want them to send it to us?
Yes.
Yes.
Roll it over.
Roll it over. You want to roll it over? Then if you wanted to roll it over, you would put it down here. You put 178 here. If you wanted to roll it over, but don't roll it over. Get your money. Okay. Questions? How was that?
That's not so bad. You just instructions. Yeah,
it's not so bad. Is it tedious? Yeah. Is it boring?
Yeah.
But you can make a living doing it, folks, believe it or not. And once you learn how to do it, you know, manually, then the software does it for you. You know, you just start typing in the numbers and it does it for you. Cool. Excellent. Yes. Yes.
If the software does it for you and you gain an income doing it, do they charge a license for you to?
I'm sorry. Say it again. If the software does it for you.
Yeah. If you're charging customers and you're using software, does the software require you to purchase a license?
Oh yeah. No. If you use TurboTax to do other people's software, I mean they're never going to know. But they want you to go with a professional. It's much more expensive. You can use TurboTax for your own, for your friend, your family, your member, you know, but if you start charging people and they find out, they're going to come down on you pretty darn hard because they charge a pretty penny for that professional software. Yeah, good question. Yeah, think about it. But yeah, same idea. If you know, take home a DVD, well, you don't do DVDs anymore, right? But if you start charging people to watch Netflix movies in your house or something like that and they catch you, you're going to be in deep kimchi. Okay. Good. Excellent. What a great class. Not like last semester's class. They were so dumb. Good-looking class, but dumb. Aren't you going to ask me how dumb were they?
How dumb were they?
They were so dumb. I told you about the 60 Minutes, right? Took them an hour and a half to watch 60 Minutes. They went to a movie, right? And then ran home and got 16 of their friends. Because it said under 17, not admitted. They get worse. Okay, now what else is going to be? So that's it. We've gone through the material. What else is going to be? We have some time now. No, stretch, wake up, stretch, wake up. So, okay, crack. Let's do a couple of future value problems, and then do at least one after tax problem. Okay, is that cool?
Yeah.
Is that cool? And then later, and then if we get done, we'll probably get done about 20 minutes. Then we'll have about 10-15 minutes. You guys who feel pretty comfortable with the 1040, with the after tax cash, maybe do cash flow net worth. Those of you can leave, those others stick around, and we'll do even more review. Is that a deal? All right. But before we do that, I forgot to put this on the computer, so let's do that right now. Let's do this right now. Got your ABCDs? Okay. Okay, school. 121. 3. It's not there. Oh, here it is. There it is. Okay. So now, yes? Okay. Before you leave, make sure you know. Okay. So now, as we saw, we already saw a few questions for checking for comprehension. Let's take a look at some exam, typical exam questions. I don't try to trick you. Unless it says, here's the tricky part. Unless I say, here's the tricky part. I do my best. It's not easy to write questions. Try it. You know, and you think it's very difficult. And so you have to do your best to make sure, at least I do. I do my best to make sure that I'm throwing, those of you interested in baseball, throwing strikes. You know, right down the middle. No curveballs. Unless it says, here, you know, here's a tricky one. You know, here's a little, or a bonus or something like that. So, for example, what is gross income minus adjustments to income, such as IRAs, contributions, individual retirement accounts, student loan interest, alimony payments? What does that result in? Gross income, got your ABCDs? Gross income minus adjustments to income? Yeah, mostly got D's there. Adjusted gross income. We're not there to taxable income yet. Right. So that's an example of... You're not going to get this question, but you're going to get your question is going to look very similar, right? And then you would only deduct itemized deductions if the total of your itemized deductions is greater than your A, B, C, D, personal exemptions, standard deduction, taxable income, or, right. You get to deduct, standard deduction is the answer. You get to deduct the standard deduction or the itemized deductions, but you don't get both. I see one of these is not correct. Yeah, what is used to compute your income tax due? What number is used to compute your income tax due? The itemized deductions, taxable income, personal exemptions, or tax credits? Don't have to be right. Don't worry. You're not being tested. A, B, C, D. Yeah, the taxable income. That's the one. Taxable income. The so-called minimum debt. This is not true anymore. Get rid of that. Oh, yeah. That's a good one. That's a good one. A tax what? A tax. Did you see it? You saw it. Okay. So a tax. Oh, it's already a tax credit. It's an amount for. Okay. You get that. And then there. Which type of IRS audit is the least complicated and least torturesome? Which one's the least complicated, least torturesome? Commitment, field, correspondence, or office? Right. Correspondence is the least one. The field audit is the worst. And the office is in between. The commitment, there's no such thing. Okay, cool. So that's an example of the kind of problems you're going to see on the exam. All right, get rid of that guy. All right, so now let's go back to this guy. And let's do a real quick, because these are pretty straightforward. But some people just go, huh, I don't remember that. Let's do the after-tax worksheet. Make it a little bit bigger. All right. So there's the formula. And we used a couple of examples. Where's the eraser? Oh, there. Favorite eraser. Okay, so the formula, my undergraduate degree is math, so I see a formula, I don't get freaked out, but a lot of people, they see a formula, they scared to death. So we take our out-of-pocket expense, in other words, what it cost us to walk away from the place, whatever tax, sales tax, and all that other stuff, and we divide that by 1 minus our marginal tax rate. Marginal tax rate. The next dollar, marginal tax bracket or marginal tax rate, the next dollar we're going to be taxed on. And we use 22%, 7%, 22 for the feds, 7% for the state of California. And even though the Social Security Medicare is actually 7.65, we just used 8% because that's a whole lot easier to do the calculation. Cool? So what item do you spend often, do you buy often, or maybe big ticket item? What?
Diapers.
Oh, my goodness, right, diapers. They're not tax deductible, are they? I think they should be. What? Cloth diapers. But they've got their problems, too. But yeah. So how much does a thing of diapers cost? How many diapers?
A lot. Like
you get 100 or something like that. Okay, so $40, and let's say that includes the tax. Let's say $40. So now, what do we do? One minus 22% plus 7% for the feds plus 8% for Social Security and Medicare, realizing it's really not 8%. So what do we do with those numbers? We don't type them in our calculator. What is 22? Percent, 0.22. What is 7%? Everyone should say 0.07. Don't put 0.7%. This is not right. That's 70%. And then 8% is 0.08. So you add these three up. Tough question, folks. Gotcha. Laurie says 37. Is she right? Minus 0.37. That's $40. So 1, don't forget the 1, minus. 1 minus is 0.63. So $40 divided by 0.63 is? 63.5 dollars. How much does it really cost? Questions, thoughts? Can you do that? Piece of cake? Cool. Okay, good. All right, so now let's turn our attention to the, if we have time, we'll do a couple of these guys. But these are pretty straightforward. People, they take a long time, too. Let's do future value practice problems. This is where people go, oh, I spaced. I'm sorry.
So for the out-of-pocket expenses, you should just hold on to that 0.63%.
If you want to make it easier, so you just hold it. No, I'm not going to change. Okay. I'm not going to change the, okay, down the middle. I'm not going to. But remember, you will. You're in a different tax bracket. You might be in a higher tax bracket or a lower tax bracket. So that's where it gets a little tricky. So, but we'll keep the same tax bracket just for consistency's sake. Okay, fine. Now, number one is a lump sum. We're not going to do any of those. We're going to be interested in these. So I would make sure I could do number two, three, and four. So who wants to do number two? Who wants to read number two? About our Russian immigrant? Nobody read it? Okay, yes, Alvaro.
Philip, I'm talking about $1,200 per month, $1,000 per year to the Roth IRA, 50 years, 8% per year. What amount should Philip have at the end of 4 years?
Okay, who is this? Philip and Topoff. Philip and Topoff? Think about it for a minute. Okay, now here's the tricky part. Here's the curveball. The tables, are they monthly or yearly? They're yearly. So which number do we use, the monthly or the yearly? Yeah, there's the tricky part with that one. We tend to think in terms of monthly, and they have monthly tables, but they're many pages. So you got your table? If not, let's get one here. Let's get one up on the screen. Where's the future value table? Future value tables. Okay, so which is this, a series of investments or a lump sum? It's a series of investments. So how many years was that? Was that 30 years or 20? 35 years. I forget. 40 years. I'm sorry, 40 years. Okay, sorry about that. So I didn't write that down. 40 years. Okay, so it's a series of investments at 8% for 40 years. So which table do we use? Everyone should say bottom, because then I know you're awake. Do we use the top or the bottom? The bottom. So go across the 8%, down 40 years. Is he right? 259.057. So take 259.057. That's the future value multiplier for a series of investments at 8% for 40 years. And you know, you remember that great if you don't. But all you have to know is the magic number, right? And what that number has is the exponential formula built in. So we take the $1,200 per year, but she's really putting in $100 a month. He's really putting in $100 a month, but the table is annual. So 1,200 times 259.057. People in the cheap seats. $310,868.40. Not bad, huh? Okay, there you go. Okay, good. Excellent. What a great class. Okay, so now let's go to number three. Oh, no, that's why this. Let's do number four. Number three is very similar to number four. I'm sorry, number two. Number three is very similar to number two. Number four is where it gets a little tricky, because what does she do? She starts and then stops. And then so let's go through. Who will read number four? Don't everybody jump at once. What, Jonathan?
A lot of good ideas. She's 25 years old. Just started a new job and contributes $100 per month into her 401k retirement account. So 840 for a total of 15 years. Her employer will match 100% of her contributions. She stops contributing at age 40. A lot of expects reaching 10% annually. Obviously, she can have at age
So who is this? A lot of good it did. A lot of good it did. Okay. She's got a 401k at work. And she puts in $100 a month. Her boss, or the company, right, matches that. Dollar for dollar, up to whatever, 3%, 6% of her salary, whatever. So she's going to put in $100. They're going to put $100 in. So how much is that per year? $1,200 per year plus $1,200. So $2,400 per year. That's free money. And there are so many people who are not taking advantage of that. They are not contributing to their 401k. And who's going to give you 100% return on your money in one day? Nobody except your employer. So that's free money, folks. Definitely take advantage of that. Definitely, if you have the opportunity, take advantage. Now, some companies don't offer it, or maybe they match 50%. I've never seen anybody match 25%, but I've seen people match 50%, 100%. And that's cool. Okay, now, so it's two problems, isn't it? The first problem, she's doing $2,400. What was the rate of return? 10% annually. So the first problem is what? She's putting in $2,400 per year. It's a continuous. It's a series. Which table do we use? The bottom one. Let's go to the bottom table. Divided by CD. Where is it? There it is. Okay. So go across to 10%. Down 15 years, and did you get 31,772? So 31,772. Okay, multiply the $2,400 per year times 31,772, and how much does she have at age 40? 76,000. 232, and maybe some cents, 52 cents. So, you know, age 40, she's got enough for a down payment on a really nice house.
It's
252
with 81
cents. Okay, so there's a little difference of opinion here. Who says 52? Who says 81? I don't know, the 81. Some of you, come on, that's why we have calculators. 81, doesn't matter. It's 81 cents, who cares? Okay, so now... Now, she sits on it. She lets it sit for 25 years. And she has kids, and those 25 years go really fast. I'm sorry, what is it? Let's do it again. Come on, you guys, get your 99-cent calculators out. Come on, do it. I don't got the calculator. 252? And how many cents? 80 cents. 81. 80, 81. Are you rounding up? I know a lot of you students cannot round. And we round up to $53. But you need, if you don't know how to round, come see me, go to the Academic Success Center. You're going to make us all look bad at Southwestern. You go out there and you don't know how to round dollars and cents. You go, and they're going to say, where did you go to school? I ain't sending any of my employees to Southwestern. I've never hired another. So learn how to round, okay? If you don't do it, come see me. I go to the math center. The tutors over there. You want to go to the Academic Success Center because it's so vibrant. There's learning going on, and then you get it. You get the bug in you, and you start helping other people, and that's the way you learn best is when you help other people. Cool. Okay, so now, what is she going to do with that $76,000? She's going to sit on it, right. She's going to sit on it, and now she does whatever she does, but she doesn't work there anymore, so she doesn't contribute anymore, and she leaves it sit for 25 years. Now, is it a series of investments, or is it a lump sum? It's a lump sum, so which table do we use? The top table. Go across to 10%, down 25 years, 10.835, everybody see that? Because you can't ask the people in the expensive seats on the exam. So multiply 76,252.81 times 10.835 and... Oops, wrong color. 826,000? 999? 199. And? Whatever. 99 or whatever. Not bad. And you too, dear students. You get started early. The world doesn't end. Don't panic when the markets fall. Invest prudently, wisely, with an eye toward long-term growth, which we're going to learn how to do later on, and then take business 123. You can do it. Seriously. I'm very optimistic. Personally, I'm probably not going to be around. I know I'm not going to be around in 40 years, but I'm hoping to make, 90 or so. And the world is going to change in so many ways. Just so many damn ways. It's going to be so cool. And some things are going to be problems. Nothing's perfect. Technology solves a lot of problems and creates a bunch of more. So we'll see. Okay, now, any other questions for the general public? All right, so now let's take 2 minutes. If you want to stick around and go through a couple more problems, be happy to do so. We can tell bad jokes, but I'll stick here till 10, till 11:35. If you came in late, scream and holler because we need to know who you are, where you are. Where's my? If I can't find it, it's not going to be helpful. Here it is. Okay. Oh, I forgot the stapler again. Just make sure your name's on both of them. If you have the assignments, turn them in. Okay, who came in late?
Mendoza.
One. Okay, cool. Joseph Lopez here. No. Moises? Christina, no. David Sandez. Francisco Vargas. Hector Lopez. Mauricio's here, okay. Okay, Martinez, first name is
Carlos,
you're on the other page. Carlos. Oh no, you aren't. Where are you? Carlos Martinez? Where are you? Oh, there you are. Sorry, Carlos. There you are. Okay. Anybody's name I didn't call? Everybody come in late? Okay. All right, so if you're gonna leave. If you're going to leave, get out. Okay. Make sure your names are on the pages. I forgot the stapler. Okay, come on. Daniela Alvaro, if you're going to leave, please leave. Because we're going to do more. As long as I can read it, I'll get my magnifying glasses on. It's okay. Okay, Laura. Yes.
Hey.
Long-term goals?
To be like really financial. How much should you really have saved? Like how much? What? Where should you be?
Oh well, that's the question. Laura's question was, I'm having a hard time with my long-term financial goals because I really don't know where I should be in 30 years. 40 years. Well, that's a difficult question to answer. You can shoot for a million, right? Some people shoot for a million.
Only $60,000 in interest, and in like 30 years, $60,000 is going to be like $30,000 now.
Yeah, you're right. So shoot for 2 million.
So 2.5 million, you have 1,000 a year, which would probably be like $50,000 a year now.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
There's no good answer.
Well, no, you just answered your own question. It sounds like you want to shoot for 2.5 million.
But then, does it matter? Is it only to be invested or should it be like property?
Well, there, real estate is a viable alternative. We're going to get to alternative. The major investments for most people are stocks and bonds through mutual funds because most people just do not have the wherewithal. They don't want to do it. They don't have the time. And they use mutual funds. Now, they may pick their own. They may have a financial advisor. But real estate is a very viable investment alternative. However, it is a pain in the... Okay, we talk about the PETA factor. Have you ever heard of the PETA factor?
No, I've seen it.
Pain in the... And whereas mutual funds, once you've chosen the mutual fund, it's easy.
Then
that's great. Yeah, well, how old are you? Don't tell me, but
36.
I mean, okay, you're still young, right? You want the market to crash.
Yes, I do.
Why?
So then I can buy a ton of property.
Right. Well, you're talking about real estate markets, a different market.
Yes.
If you want the stock market to crash, you can buy shares at cheap. Right. You buy the real estate market to crash, it's very difficult. Real estate is just very difficult. First of all, they want 25%. What do they want for a down payment on a home?
Okay, wait. No, let's just do the
No, this is a great...
I'm occupying their...
Does anybody else want to do problems up here? Anything you guys want. She's asking a question about investments, but if you guys want to do any... It's a great question, Laura. I could talk about investments a lot longer than most any reasonable person would ever want to listen. Anybody want to do any problems, though? I'll stick around even later. I don't have any meetings. See, my office hour is at 1. But the reason I would rather have the office hour at noon, right? But the problem is we often have meetings, and we have the investment club at noon, so I don't really have time. But you're saying, so if you have any questions about assignment, about calculations, please yell. But Laura was asking about real estate. When you buy a house, if you have 10% down, they love you, right? This is owner-occupied. That's exactly the term they're going to use. Is this owner-occupied? In other words, is it your house or you're living in it? You can, of course, if you have 20%, they'll be in heaven. But if you have 3 to 5% and you're a first-time home buyer, there are programs for you. Let's talk, okay? You're going to pay a lot more, but in terms of fees and the like and interest. But this is... great, you know, but if you have 10, yes, Alvaro?
Yes, so let's say, you don't have the money for real estate. Like, let's say, you're talking about 10%. Do you think that's reasonable for right now with the market, like 10% in the mutual fund? Is that, like, average?
To get 10%?
10%, that's, like...
Over the next 5-10 years? No.
Yeah, so
no, I'm thinking, if we get 5-6% over the next 10 years, I'll be really happy. But, again, when we invest in stocks, well, actually, we haven't gone through that. Oh, hey, Johnny. We're actually in the next room next door. We'll be in the next room next door. This is still the 121 class. Stick around. Yeah, because I have to go over there too. When you invest in stocks, you have to realize that it's extremely volatile. So I'm expecting, that doesn't mean I'm right, I'm expecting we're going to have a recession soon. Maybe this year, maybe next year, who knows. I may be wrong. I don't know. Nobody's been able to accurately predict it. So there may be a very good buying opportunity, but as long as you have a long-term perspective and you're like most people, put $50, $100 into a well-run, long-term oriented mutual fund, and you're going to do what's called dollar cost average, which is a horrible name. I haven't been able to come up with anything better. But as the market falls, you'll keep putting $100 in every month and you'll be buying shares at a lower price. I may be wrong. It might go hyperkinetic. I mean, in 1996, I was sure the market was way overpriced. It then went up.
Way up.
And I'm like, this isn't going to last. But when it was going to go down, I had no idea. I did not think it was going to go down in 2000. I was sure that, people are just so excited. They're going to keep throwing money at the market. It's not going to stop. And all of a sudden, it stopped. It popped. The bubble popped. Right. But as long as you kept putting money away, by 2003, 4, 5, you did very well. And of course, a lot of it depends on which investments you use, right? So if your idea of diversification was that you had biotech and internet stocks, well then you were in deep kimchi. So now let's get to real estate. If you want an investment property, they now want at least 25% down, which doesn't sell under 25%. Say it's a condo, or maybe you find a house for $400,000. That's $100,000. Plus, you need closing costs, another $10,000 or so. Plus, you have to have impeccable credit. And they want to know how much money you're making. They want you to have a very good salary.
And the property company's
going to
come in and buy it cash right out from under you.
Laura is absolutely right. There are companies that will just come in buy it $400,000 cash. And this is what was going on when prices just plummeted. There were tons of houses for sale, but you put in a bid, you never heard anything from them. They just said, oh, we'll get back to you in a couple of months. Like, what do you mean a couple of months? I want to know now. And then people were coming in, as you said, just paying cash. We found a place that unbelievable bargain, perfect location, right across from the, it's just perfect. And we put in a bid, and the real estate agent said, "Oh, I don't know." And then I said, "Okay, make it cash." She said, "Are you serious?" I said, "Yes, make it cash." And she went, "Okay." 3 hours later. 3 hours later, they said, "Okay, fine." I learned out later why. I knew it was a lot of work, and I knew it needed a lot of work, but it needed a whole lot more than I thought it did. But still, see, that's what you're up against. That's what you're up against. And then I was really gold brick, sitting on gold brick. I got to come up with the cash. And I pulled in some chips. I sold all the stocks. I thought I was going to buy, not all my mutual funds, but all my individual stocks. I sold them all and said, "Okay, I don't have time for this. I'm going to do real estate now."
Yeah, but a happy life.
She was not happy. She was not happy. My wife was not happy. See, that's, you ever hear of contrarian investing? Contrarian investing? Contrarian investors are people who wait for the market to crash. They wait for blood in the streets. And I have never been a contrarian investor. I've been a buy and hold, dollar cost average, money through my 403B, my Roth IRA, my wife's Roth IRA. I did a few things on the side, and then we have a simple IRA. But I just kept putting in money. That's the only place I've done contrarian. Well, my wife, when we first got met, she was terrified of stocks. She did not understand the stock market. She just didn't want anything to do with it. And it took me a while to explain to her. She goes, "Why don't we invest in real estate?" I said, "It's too damn expensive. If I invest in real estate, I want the rent to cover the mortgage, the insurance, the taxes. I want to be cash flow positive." Well, for two decades, you were cash flow negative. John, you want to jump in here? Because Oh, yeah.
So as high as they are, and if many people are not able to buy a house, it actually kind of makes sense, because then you can charge way more than your mortgage.
You would think, but the prices are pretty darn high.
Yeah.
You have to really find that gem. You have to really find that gem. And at the same time, you're up against some of the best investors in the world in Southern California. You got some really, really savvy investors here. Some of them are not the most pleasant people, but they know what they're doing. And so in the case of real estate, I just finally convinced her, it's not a good deal. And then 2009 comes along, 2008 and 2009, and you were there, yeah. And I told my wife, I looked around and I looked at prices here in the South Bay, and I'm looking at Zillow and the like. Yeah, right. And I said to my wife, I said, "Nita," that's her name, Nita, "let's go look at some real estate." And she goes, "Why?" You finally got me feeling comfortable about this. Meanwhile, she's asking me, "How are we?" This was 2008. The market had fallen 40, 50%. "How are we doing? How's our retirement?" "Oh, just fine, dear. just fine." And so it took us months before we actually got a bite. And it was only because we did the cash thing. Yeah. The number, I call it the numbers. Yeah, we can show you, not right now, but we can show you a spreadsheet I use. I call it the numbers. And it just sees what, it just looks at whether it's going to be cash flow positive or cash flow negative. And it's not a pretty sight. But in 2009, 10, 11, it was a great sight if you could get the damn banks to deal with you. If you can get them to deal with you, but they were just, "Go away. We got thousands of these things on the books. We don't want to deal with you. And that's when Warren Buffett's company, Berkshire Hathaway, he started Berkshire Hathaway. What is it called? Berkshire Hathaway Real Estate? I guess I don't know. He came in. He wasn't the only one. What the hell is the name of the company? Not BlackRock. Not Blackwater. I forget the name of that damn company. Oh, darn it. Black something other. Now, Blackwater's the deed. BlackRock. I'm going to look up. Hang on a minute. I know the guy. Hang on a minute. My apologies. Goofball. Okay. Google. Stephen Schwartz. Schwartzman. Blackstone. Stephen Blackstone. Blackstone, which is a private equity group, one of the, very big company. They came in and bought up just entire, neighborhoods, because you go to East Lake, you go to the Eastern. It was just there were point of stick. How many of them are in foreclosure? So that's who you're up against with billions of dollars to invest. So real estate is a great investment. If you are you thinking of staying here in San Diego? Seriously. Well, if you go to another area of the country, not as competitive, real estate's a great bargain. Arizona.
Washington State, Oregon, never Arizona. God, it's like...
Well...
But Northern Arizona.
Northern Arizona, but then there's not too much... And it's not too much commerce, not too much jobs. Seattle's tough. My understanding is Seattle's really tough in terms of real estate. But I'm sure Portland's not bad. I mean, well, that's the problem because Californians go up to Washington and they go,
it still isn't.
Wow, look at this, $300,000, I get a mansion. You know? And so that pisses off the folks, the locals, like, oh, damn, Californians. But, yeah, where else would you think about going?
That says
Arkansas. Yeah, I agree. But... It's beautiful.
Never live in the South.
I don't blame you. But it's buggy and muggy and...
It's not that bad, to be honest. Sorry. I'm from Texas, so it's really not
that bad. Well, Texas is huge. Parts of Texas are nice, parts of Texas are... But yeah, everything's relative. Everything's relative. Everybody... I like San Antonio Bernie. I saw this one called Bernie. San Antonio? Yeah, I like that area, but I would not want to live in Dallas, Fort Worth, no, Houston, no, El Paso, New Mexico. El Paso is really part of New Mexico, right? No, too hot?
It's the people.
People?
That's what I'm worried about. Like,
mm-hmm.
Like San Antonio is good, like this, like San Diego, but not as crowded.
They're more accepting. You buy a big house, and they're more accepting of people. And not that much traffic. Yeah, traffic. Okay, we got to stop now. But study. Bring honor and glory to Southwestern Community College. 12 starts at 12 in the next room. Okay.